grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 20th chapter of St. Matthew, the 10th through the 12th verses in the translation of the New English Bible. When it was the turn of the men who had come first, they expected something extra, but they were paid the same amount as the others. As they took it, they grumbled at their employer. "These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, yet you have put them on the same level with us, who sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun." Whenever I read the Gospel for this Sunday, which I think is one of the more difficult Gospel readings in the whole church year, there come to mind some words of a rather eccentric housemaster at Eton College in Windsor, England, who was charged with the supervision of students' lives at Eton long before the late Queen Elizabeth's grandsons, William and Harry, were students there. The housemaster's name was John Upcott, and this is what he said: "I believe in treating boys unfairly, because life's unfair, and the sooner they get used to that idea, the better one is preparing them for life. I believe in treating boys unfairly because life's unfair, and the sooner they get used to that idea, the better one is preparing them for life." Well, I think we might all agree that John Upcott is not a particularly attractive personality. But anybody who's been alive for any length of time knows perfectly well that life often seems to be unfair. Unfair in all kinds of ways. And yet, isn't it also true that almost whenever we come up against this unpleasant patch of life, we perhaps find ourselves a bit surprised, perhaps even resentful, that this should be so? And isn't it our sense of fairness that's offended by the story Jesus tells in the Gospel for this Sunday? Our sense of fairness. Because in this parable, the workers who'd been hired first thing in the morning complained that they'd been treated unfairly because they'd received no more than the workers who'd been hired just 1 short hour before the workday ended. You can just hear their resentment. "These latecomers who've done only an hour's work, but you paid them the same as us who sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun? Unfair. Unfair. Same wages for 1 hour's work as for a whole day's work? That just doesn't make sense. And wouldn't any business managed like this quickly find itself out of business?" So what on earth is Jesus saying in this story he tells? What on earth is the point of it all? Well, the first thing to keep firmly in mind is that Jesus' story isn't a lesson in labor relations. It's a parable. And what is a parable? A parable is one of those often surprising, sometimes puzzling stories Jesus tells to point to the mystery of who he is and to what God the Father is doing through him. The parable is all about Jesus, who doesn't begin this story by saying, "Now this is how the world should be run and business done." No, he begins the story by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this story I'm now going to tell you." And what is the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus speaks? It's not so much a place as it is an activity. What God is doing through Jesus, bringing fallen sinners back to himself and placing us safely and surely under his gentle rule, the rule of his mercy. This is the kingdom of heaven, the kingly work of the merciful God. Of course, our sense of fairness is offended when we hear that men who'd worked only an hour received the same pay as those who'd sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. Of course, our sense of fairness is offended. But that happens to be the point, that our place in God's kingdom as his dear children isn't a matter of fairness, of what we somehow deserve or can rightly demand for ourselves. No. Our place in God's kingdom is a pure gift of his sheer goodness. A pure gift of his sheer goodness. Just as the wages paid to the men who'd worked only an hour wasn't a matter of anything they deserved, not a matter of fairness, but sheer goodness. Not a matter of fairness, but of generosity, the generosity of God, who freely gives and forgives through Jesus. If you want to talk about fairness, about what we in fact deserve from our Maker, what we deserve is God's judgment on our waywardness and disobedience. And so when in the Catechism the question is asked, "What have you deserved of God because of your sins?" the answer is, "His wrath and displeasure, temporal death and eternal damnation." That's what fairness requires. That's what we deserve. And the fact that this truth seems so strange to people today, so difficult, that's no sign of progress and enlightenment, but of spiritual blindness, of blindness to the ugly reality of humankind's ongoing rebellion against our Maker. It was Nicholas Berdyaev who once said, "One of the characteristics of Christianity is to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin. One of the characteristics of Christianity is to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin." And when we look at our world today, when we look at the human story from the beginning, it is littered with evidence of humankind's ongoing rebellion against our Maker. We think, for example, that for over 200 years, slavery was legal in our country. For over 200 years. And it took an unspeakably bloody civil war to bring that to an end, though its effects are still with us today. That's one example of humankind's ongoing rebellion against the one who calls every human being out of nothingness into being out of his love and generosity. Because we in fact deserve God's judgment, all we are, all we have, is a gift of sheer goodness from God, who has no pleasure in the death of sinners, but sent his only Son down to the manger, cross, and tomb, and then raised him up, so that we rebellious human beings might be freely and fully forgiven, raised up to the joy of living under his mercy. And so this surprising, in a way even troubling story the Savior tells is not some kind of lesson in wages and labor relations. It rather tells the good news that our place in God's kingdom here and hereafter is not a reward for effort on our part, but the sheer gift of his unmerited and costly love. God saves, God makes us his by grace alone. Not because of anything he's seen in us, but because of who he in fact is. The gracious Lord who hates nothing he has made and takes delight in forgiving all those who are penitent. Here there can be no talk of fairness, of accomplishment or reward. but of grace alone, that grace which is the undeserved tender mercy of the Lord, whose goodness we taste again this day in the gift of that holy body born of Mary and of the precious blood once shed for us. Today is the beginning of what's called the Easter cycle of the Christian year. Last Sunday, the Christmas cycle ended, that cycle of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany. Today, the Easter cycle begins. The strange old name for this Sunday, Septuagesima, tells us that it's about 70 days until Easter. And as we begin our annual journey to the cross and the empty tomb, we are first of all reminded by the gospel read on this Sunday that our salvation is entirely the gracious gift of the God who, through the costly sacrifice of his Son outside the gates of Jerusalem, has opened the gates of heaven to all who put their trust in him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten.